Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Montclair.
And we're your friendly neighborhood Clippers podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Just a couple of best friends and Clipper credential media folks who bring you Locked On Clippers 5 days a week.
Somehow we made it. What time does that come out every day?
7 a.m., Monday through Friday.
Yes.
So, make sure you're rocking with us. We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to be kicking things off with a weekend preview. Clippers are taking on the Celtics the day that you're listening to this, Friday.
Yeah, you'll be in the building for that one.
That's right.
Say hey to them if you're at Staples. I guess if you're an employee of Staples listening to this.
And then they're taking on the Kings on Sunday. So we're going to talk about what we need to do well in both of those games, as well as what could go wrong. And then in segment two, we're talking some Clippers concerns.
Yeah, quasi-concerns, you know.
Yeah.
Just like, something to think about.
Where do we go from here?
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And then we have some shavings for you. We're going to be talking about the G League roster situation. Yeah. And then it's Friday. We got to love Merry Quarantine for you. Every single Friday, Charles and I rank something arbitrarily related to the Clippers. We're either loving it, we're marrying it, or we're quarantining it, which means get it the heck away from us. So all of that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so it is a Clippers weekend preview. Clips for Celtics on Friday. They can hear you on AM 570.
That's right.
Post-game about this game, which will be a fun time.
Supposedly.
Okay, yeah.
Allegedly.
Adam Austin's going to bail. There's some injury questions for the Celtics. Kemba is going to play. He missed their last game against the Kings, which they lost. But Jaylen Brown is questionable, and so is Peyton Pritchard. Pritchard almost played against the Kings, apparently, but then didn't, so I feel like he's probably going to play. But not necessarily a full deck, maybe, for the Celtics.
No. And, like, they pretty notably, I mean, the guard depth is very weak. We'll definitely see some Jeff Teague minutes. And then, I mean, I'm just going to launch into what we need to do well.
Because we're out Bev also. Just disclaimer for that. We're out Patrick Beverley.
Yes.
Yeah.
Only injury thus far.
Yeah. Whoa. Ominous.
But what we need to do well in this one, I think, is take advantage of our size.
For sure.
Especially at the five. They have a pretty unconventional kind of lineup there with Tristan Thompson, who has been playing well lately, Daniel Tice, and Robert Williams. A little bit smaller than us.
Yeah.
Certainly some versatile, they can be versatile dudes. They sometimes run a front court with Tice and Williams out there at the same time.
Ooh, little wacky crazy stuff going on over there in Bean Town.
So I'd love to see another strong defensive showing from Zoo.
Second half Zoo from the last game is what we want to see.
Yes. And also, you know, I'm really looking to see Serge here efficient around the basket.
Ooh, it's been rough so far around the rim.
It's been just really feast or famine
for
him around the rim. And the thing is, you know, this is a little bit of an opportunity for him to kind of tee off against some smaller sort of opposition.
Yeah.
Certainly not pushovers at the five, but you know, he does have the size advantage there. And basically, like, if we're experimenting with things, if he can't really go off in this one efficiently, maybe it's time to abandon the give Serge the ball in the post and see what happens.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes it bails us out, and sometimes he's just hurling it at the rim.
Maybe he should just be taking more threes or
hey,
something.
I'm not mad at that.
You know?
Speaking of threes, continue to hit our threes while having good ball denial on the perimeter. Celtics take just four less threes per game than us.
Mm-hmm.
We're shooting 42%. They're shooting 37%. So keeping it out of their shooters' hands, basically Kemba and Tatum, they take seven threes per game each. Behind the arc is going to be huge for us. And then ball movement is going to be, you know, we've been getting an absurd amount of, by definition, wide open threes.
Mm-hmm.
So looking, like, we're going to talk about and kind of what could go wrong, but like looking in this team is kind of like looking in the mirror a little bit, like personnel wise. So I'm just hoping the ball movement's on point against the Celtics defense.
Definitely. And defensively, we are going to have to communicate switches well. Tatum is going to be carrying a lot of sort of the playmaking duties. They're going to kind of go with the
burden.
Forward. Jeff Teague has kind of been having some issues offensively.
Yeah.
So, you know, we need to avoid easy lanes to the basket, make things hard for them. They sometimes run, like, some side pick and roll and some kind of different stuff for Jason Tatum. And he did have 10 assists in that loss to the Kings.
Ooh.
And when plays break down, they're going to immediately go, like, you know, for the quick drive to the basket with Brown, if he is available, or Tatum.
Yeah.
So we just need to make sure that we're staying in front of those guys. And they, like you said, they take four less threes than us per game, which is good for bottom five in the NBA.
I was surprised by that stat. I admittedly don't watch a lot of Celtics games, but I was like, that's lower than I thought it would be.
Definitely. Well, just so many absences, I think. That's always going to kind of hurt some of the ball movement and playmaking.
And cowardice. What could go wrong? Like we talked about, personnel's kind of like looking in the mirror a bit. They have wings who can do a better job than most teams of matching up with our wings.
Definitely.
You know, it's not a one-for-one, obviously, but, I mean, Tatum is absurdly good at basketball.
And has torched us before.
Yes, we have seen that. So we're going to need someone to kind of pick up the slack if Kawhi and PG can't be their usual, you know, two MVPs on one team selves. And I'm looking for a big game for one of our bench guards. They might be, you know, if Peyton Pritchard doesn't play, they're pretty shallow at guard. You know, they're playing Tremont Williams in that Kings game. Granted, Kemba is back, but I just hope that we can see, you know, because when I'm talking guards, you know, Reggie's starting, so I'm talking about Luke or Lou.
Yeah.
Who I hope to see have a big game, and we might need it.
Absolutely, and that's another thing that I think could go wrong. If we can't get any bench production, Zoo does anchor that bench defensively a little bit, which does kind of take out some of the bottoms. But they do they do stagger Tatum, which makes sense. Yeah.
He's the smart move.
He's the best player. You do sometimes need him to lift up the means, so he can get that offense churning for sure. So I'd really like to see some early shots kind of falling for Luke and Lou. We're going to talk about this more in the second segment, but if we can't hit our threes in this one, it could be a challenging night.
Got to find points somewhere. And then a real quick look at the Clippers versus Kings game at 12 noon on Super Bowl Sunday.
Perfect.
Get that perfect pre-Super Bowl viewing time, you know? What an awful time. Why is basketball played on Super Bowl Sunday? And I'm not saying this in a weird, the football is better than the NBA way. Why are games played on Super Bowl? You know what people are watching.
It's so many hours that you're going to be watching the television.
That's true. That's a good point. People are glued to the boob tube, as it used to be called. They took tubes out of TV, though, so they can't call it that anymore. What do we need to do? Well, let PG and Kawhi do their thing. It's the Kings. But I hope it happens via ball movement. No one on the Kings has really been able to stop Kawhi and PG. No one on a lot of teams have been able to stop them. But I don't want to see, like, ISO crushing. You know what I mean? Like, that would be great, and we might need it. But I hope we get into a rhythm early with the ball movement.
Look, I definitely agree with you. Coming off of, six games in 9 days.
Dude, and then they got in at, like, 3 a.m. on Thursday and just have to play on Friday. It's kind of a messed up. I was talking about it with a Black Sub-Zero 24 on Twitter. Kind of a rough travel schedule.
This is kind of a heavy month for us this month of February. It's definitely going to be a test. So I agree with you. You want to get other guys going. You want to get them comfortable. We also need to continue to clean up on the glass. We've rebounded them by 9 and 15.
There's a pattern there.
So we need to sort of maintain that presence. I'm a Rashawn Holmes fan.
Yeah.
But
you're a Holmes head.
I think that we have the advantage there at the five.
Yes, I would agree with that.
The Kings are they're like above average in offensive rebounding, not like wildly so, but they are a bottom four defensive rebounding team. So let's look to get some second opportunities if shots aren't falling.
What else we got in here?
Luke Kennard.
This one's kind of out of left
field. Yeah. Let it fly, baby. Luke has had some of his best games in those two games against the Kings. He went 6 of 8 from the field in the first go. He went 4 of 6 in the second. Weirdly, not a lot of threes. He did most of his damage inside the arc.
As long as he's scoring points at this point, I do not care.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying, you know, just... He has an open fire call wherever he wants to get his
Hell
shot.
Yeah.
Let him get his shot.
Love it. And then what could go wrong? As we saw last time against the Kings, we got lackadaisical last time when we were down in the first quarter after the first quarter against the Kings, and it was just kind of like felt like we were only winning because there was a very clear talent difference.
Yeah,
which isn't bad, but I don't want to see us. It's a noon game. This is set up. It's Super Bowl Sunday. Like, this is set up for a bit of a what are we doing out here performance.
Is lackadaisical even chiller than lackadaisical?
I don't know. I think so. Lackadaisical, I think, it's definitely more complimentary. That's something a sarcastic kid says to his gym teacher when his injury's like, you're lackadaisical. He's like, actually, I'm lackanightsicle. And everyone's like, you suck, gym teacher. You lose.
Clown.
All right. What's the other thing that could go wrong?
What else do we got in here?
Buddy Hield. In the two matchups against us, Hield has put up a combined 22 points. Fox has had 25. He had 25 the last game versus the Clips. But, you know, if he finds his rhythm in this one, he's going to score probably the same amount in this one game that he had the first two games combined. Definitely. I'm not worried we're going to lose this one, but I don't know. If we split these games, I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, and if they're demanding some gravity there on the outside, it opens up things a lot, obviously, for Fox, which just spells danger in general.
He doesn't like playing the Clippers in a healthy way, which I like, if that makes sense.
That's good competition.
It's a good competition. Coming up, we're going to be talking about what the Clips will do when the threes aren't falling, but first we have to give a shout-out to Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models of cars, is your Chrysler Pacifica an XT5? Is it an XL? You're getting roasted by the employee there for not having a nice enough car. Why endure that? Why deal with often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? And wait while the counterman orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brand that their warehouse happens to carry. They're pigeonholing you. You have computers with access to Rock Auto at home and in your pocket, phone meaning computer in this situation. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. That's a fat dub. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us?" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Okay, so we're back with segment two, which is Clippers concerns, or what do the Clips do when the shots aren't falling?
So I'm trying to figure out, right? So 39% of our points basically right now come off threes.
Love it.
That's a pretty high percentage.
Love it.
We're close to the top of the league in catch and shoot threes, and we average on 26 of those per game in terms of attempts, obviously. We're shooting, like we said, 42% from three. Like, there's a regression coming at some point, right? Like, it's not going to be like a wild regression, but going from 42% to even 38%.
I mean, 42% is an absurd number.
It's wild
for a team. Why? For a team to shoot. Are you kidding?
That's the team here. So it's like it's this outlier that is so
42% is an insane percentage for an individual to shoot.
Exactly.
Let alone an entire team.
We're in this weird place where, and you know, we don't really know. Like, the only actual concern for the Clippers, it's like a tangible one, I guess, is like pick and roll defense. Defense is behind offense. That's how it goes. But it's just one of those things, you know, what happens when the shots aren't falling?
So,
because we're not getting to the line.
All right. My thing has been and will continue to be, you can't control the shots falling or not. Like, you just can't. What you can control is the quality of the shot.
Absolutely.
And I think that we've continued to generate high quality looks.
Shout out Ty Lue.
With the ball movement. Yeah, shout out Ty Lue. So I think that is something that can stay constant. And
that's a good call.
While certainly
drill it down is what you're saying.
Yes, 42% would be absurd to maintain for a season.
It'd be the all-time, right?
I don't expect that. I believe so for a team.
I mean, I'm pretty sure the number one is like from 96 or something.
Yeah, you can't control whether the shots go in or not, but if we continue to generate those high-quality looks, even when it regresses, it can't completely bottom out continuously.
Right. You know? And the ball movement's been good enough, right? Like, we've seen guys pass up threes for twos, twos for threes. Like, there was a back down, I think it was last game, where Serge, if he just turned over his right shoulder, had nobody in front of him, but he kicked it out and we missed the three. So I think you're right. I think if Ty Lue's drilling it well enough, which he seems to be, it's like if the shots aren't falling, just take that. Just take the easy look. Because there's so much ball movement right now. Mm-hmm. You know, we're making the extra pass, which is good. So I think that's a good call.
So I don't think that the percentage necessarily of threes being around that 39% mark, that's not really troubling to me.
Yeah.
I do think something that's a little troubling is how low the amount of offensive possessions we're getting in a game.
Do you mean because we're shooting it too quick in the shot clock?
No, I mean because we're so damn slow.
See, I think this goes in that weird thing where I think it helps us.
Not if the shots aren't falling, though. That's if you have a limited call. Amount yeah. of possessions.
And but the then shots I guess you have more time falling. To figure it out. No, that's a really good point. I hadn't thought of it in that sense. Now I am, and I'm concerned. It's alive.
Yeah, because I'm enjoying my brain. Just on a fewer number of possessions, obviously, it's going to hurt you a lot more.
Yeah. Well, you look at, you know, we made as, you know, twice as many threes as the Cavs attempted in that last game. So that's a nice position for us. But when you play a team that's better than the Cavs in terms of 3-point to 2-point distribution,
mm-hmm.
it gets a little dicey.
I think, though, that this year's team has presented a better answer to those questions of to like what to do if the threes aren't falling than just 100%. ISO Kawhi yeah. and Paul George.
We've seen kind of shades of that, but I think that's I think part yes. of it's growing pains.
Yes.
The ISO.
And we did see it in the Nets game.
For sure. Which, I mean, when you're playing the Nets, I'm like, ISO all you want, guys. We're playing Kawhi. Like, we're playing KD.
They just saw early success. Kawhi was, what, 6 of 6 at one point in yeah. that Nets game?
What I also like, kind of to your point about it being drilled down and it being, you know, more of a process issue than like a luck issue, right? Like we're not shooting like 43% on heavily contested threes. We're getting so many wide open shots. The distribution of threes is pretty crazy. I hadn't looked at it until we did this episode. Paul George is taking 8 threes a game, which I think a lot of people want that to be closer to 9 or 10.
Could be higher. Yeah.
But Kawhi, Batum, and Morris, like Kawhi's at 4.9, Batum's at 4.5. Morris is at 4.6. Bev is at 4.4. So you have like 4 players within half of a 3-point attempt each other per game. And then the rung below that is Luke Kennard taking 3.6 threes per game and Reggie taking 3.5. So the distribution is there, which I think leads to your point of like if one of these guys on that middle rung in terms of attempts, Kawhi, Batum, Morris, Bev, if they're hitting threes, it doesn't cover all of our bases, but if everyone else goes cold, at least there's someone who's used to getting those shots up, right? Like, we're not hoping that someone who takes, you know, 3 3-pointers a game is good for making 5. Like,
yeah.
We have guys who are well, like, versed in seeing how this system works with the ball movement and everything. It's really equal opportunity kind of after you get past Paul George, which makes sense because Paul George is, I mean, just very clearly the best shooter on the team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think that, well, looking at these numbers, I like that you broke this down because I feel like these are all a very reasonable amount of
yeah,
attempts.
Nothing jumps out at you. Like, nothing is like, wow. Like, if anything, I'm kind of surprised that Kawhi isn't past 5, but I wouldn't want him to be at 6. So 4.9 seems
that kind of that sweet spot.
Yeah. Like,
I think we could stand to see Morris take a couple more, but yeah. His role and the shots that he's getting looks a little bit different with that second unit.
For sure.
You know, the ball movement isn't quite as crisp there.
Yeah.
So.
And Lou is pretty far down on this list. Lou, I think, is only at, hold on, I'm looking at it right in front of me right now. Lou is at 2.5 3-point attempts per game.
I'm fine with that.
We talked about his usage a little bit on the last episode, but if he's just taking falling to the left twos and hitting those at a really good clip and distributing, I don't, for how much minutes he's at, but. But this is something to kind of monitor. I think this is not a concern in making, but a possible playoff adjustment. I don't want to say concern because that has a negative connotation to what has been great basketball.
Yeah, so you're talking about to keep an eye on the through line of yeah. how the Clippers can adjust when the 3-point shots are. Because
we all want to see the
which free I think
throw
is very valid.
We all want to see the free throw attempts go up. Like, we can never take advantage of when we're in the bonus. I'd like to see that go up. Like, PG was so aggressive to start that Cavs game. I'd love it if he started every game with 3 drives.
So, do we think that some of that, though, is intentional? I've been thinking about that more
this
year.
Some tinker and tie stuff?
Well, that and just, like, honestly, like, keeping the amount of, like, physical wear and tear
on
these guys so much lower. Because, yeah, we've talked about on this show quite a bit how low, you know, the drastic change in our free throw attempts. But I do have to wonder.
Drastic has changed.
Oh, as drastic. It's a complete 180. But part of me does have to wonder if that's not part of a longer term plan. That's something that we will see ramped up as the season goes on. Because these guys are superstars. They're going to get superstar calls. Doesn't matter whether they're getting fouled early in the season or late in the season.
Unless we're playing the Nets, apparently.
Unless we're playing the Nets, yeah.
No, that's a good call. That's I think it's Tinker and Ty doing his thing. Maybe that last third of the season we'll see some stuff get kicked up.
Any other concerns before we depart on this?
I don't think so. Could you maybe talk to me, before we talk about the G League roster, what's up with protein bars?
Look, protein bars can be a load of crap. Sometimes they're not very good.
It's crap.
but Built Bar is great.
Oh, and love it.
The new and improved Built Bar is even more delicious than before. It comes in 18 amazing flavors. They've got nut. They've got non-nut in case you have an allergy.
Smart.
The six new flavors include caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp.
Nice.
The great thing about Built Bars is they're covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, but at the same time, they're healthy. They're great for the health-conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. They're great for the keto diet. And right now, we have a very special offer for our listeners. You can get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. So go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
And after you've fueled up on your old Built Bar stuff, you know what you should do?
How can I lighten up my wallet, buddy?
Bet some money or fatten it up. We hope you're ready for the Super Bowl, which is happening on Sunday. Again, we will be doing an episode. We have to record an episode after that game, insane Clippers game. I got a couple of ducats on the Chiefs to win by more than three. Their barber got COVID. Really hope that doesn't affect anything. You can also bet on which.
They only have one barber.
Yeah, they got to limit it down. They're also gonna. You can also bet on which coach is gonna have their nose exposed by from the mask first. I've said it before. I'll say it again. It's gonna be Bruce Arians 100%. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Go bet at the one place we trust, which is BetOnline.ag. If you use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus. Don't forget promo code LOCKEDON, all capitals, one word, to get a 50% off or 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, so kind of technically 50% off. Your online sportsbook experts.
Okay, so we're back with shavings. And the Clippers have announced the players that they are going to be taking to the G League bubble.
Yeah. It all makes sense for them. Oturu, Fee, Ty Wallace is going to be there, which is sick as hell. Kai Bowman, Jordan Ford, Malik Fitz, James Palmer Jr. Some good stuff. Amir Coffey was marked as a two-way player, which makes sense. Clips, you know, he's played the most kind of significant minutes of any of these guys are going to be on this roster.
More shocking, you were heated about this other two-way player.
I don't, and I think I've come to peace with why they did it. Jay Scrubb is labeled as a two-way player despite being out for the whole season. He's not going to play this season at all. He's got a screw in his foot. He needs to recover. It'd be insane if he would play this season. But this has to be an access to equipment thing. It can't be anything else.
Yeah,
because it makes no sense. And I mean this like, this isn't disrespect to Jay Scrubb. This would be any player who's injured and can't play on a season when we only have 14 players on the roster because we can't have 15 because of contract stuff. It makes no sense otherwise to have him labeled as a two-way player other than recovery facility
stuff. Yeah, I think you're 100% right. I think that they want him to have access to their health and medical staff, their trained staff certainly. And also, I think if they're liking what they're seeing, they do want the ability to have him at least at practices.
And just like watching?
Yeah.
Yeah. The belief in this kid, I love to see it, but it's borderline baffling. And I don't mean that in a mean way. Like, the upside that the Clippers see in Jay Scrubb is, I mean, as high as they saw in Shea, like, based on how we've handled all our other picks, like, he's getting a great treatment from the Clips. I'm not mad at it for the guy.
Definitely, definitely. I don't know. I think you hit the nail on the head. It's more about training and recovery. I think that two-way designation, and I believe you're allowed an extra two-way contract this year because of the COVID things. So certainly it's, to me, it's kind of like, it's a whatever move, you know, it's, I don't see it as being beneficial. I guess it would be nice, especially just with the absence of Pat Beverly, to have another contributor, but we just don't
Who, right? Like, there's no other, like, we cut all those other guards.
Yeah, we just don't really have that person as a two-way player.
And Fee's not getting, I mean,
who could soak up some minutes.
Another blow to Fee, too, of not getting the two-way. Like, did you, like,
he's tough. Not very good at basketball.
He's not, it sucks. Let's get into a Love Mary quarantine.
Let's do it.
This is an Updike special. What do we got?
So look, Paul George is the first Clipper to have consecutive games. Consecutive.
I was like, what are you talking about? He's engaged, man.
He's the first Clipper to have multiple games in the same season with 8+ threes. Nearly had a club record last night, which would have been insane.
That's Dr. Dribble award status or whatever the hell Terrence made.
I know, it's already very niche. So we're talking about obscure club records that Clippers players could break this season.
All right, what do we got?
On the board, we have Kawhi Leonard.
Okay.
Loudest and one call.
He yells it every single time he gets touched on a shot, which he should, because it should be an N1.
I'm thinking he gets the award while aggressively driving to the basket. He bellows out N1, hits the Brown sound. Everybody shits their pants.
Oh, wow. I forgot about the Brown. Is that from South Park? Or is that a real thing?
I think it's a real thing.
This is obviously when Corona has subsided and there's fans at the stadiums. What a way to get back to the stadium, fans.
What else do we got on the board?
I have Luke Kennard sets the Clippers record for most pump fakes in a single possession. The man pump fakes every single time. Kennard in this situation still can't break out of his funk and does a team record 19 pump fakes after catching a pass. He then kicks it out to Zubats for a three, of course. Next option, Ty Lue creates his own record, clearest mask. Currently Ty Lue sports, and I'm going to be the first to say it, an unsettlingly clear mask.
You can see too much of his lips.
It doesn't make any sense. He's the only one in the stadium who has this mask.
He should do like one layer of satin mask.
Yeah, like anything other than this. But in this scenario, he decides to embrace it and go full clear to the point that it doesn't even look like there's a barrier.
Continuing the creating your own award, we have Steve Ballmer with the cutest Clipper award.
He's rich, he can make his own award.
He's been paying the media to stay silent this year, but he's gonna go all out on the cutest Clipper, which will be awarded to Stephen Ballmer.
That's a good call. This would be similar to when, for the older people out there who remember these quarterbacks I'm about to talk about, Elvis Gerbach won People's Sexiest Athlete Alive award way back in the day. Because it was supposed to go to Rich Gannon, and they told the photographer that it was a Chiefs quarterback, and they just took Elvis Gerbach's picture. What are you loving, marrying, and quarantining from this one?
I'm loving Kawhi, loudest and one.
I'm not mad at that.
It's something that I've enjoyed immensely in the post-corona kind of broadcast.
Yeah.
You can hear a lot more of the court noise.
Post-corona?
And
I think mid-corona.
I mean, since Corona started.
Yeah, that's fair.
Everything is post-Corona.
Yeah, we're PC now, dude. It's your one PC.
So I'm loving that. I'm loving it. I'm actually going to marry the Luke Kennard.
Hell
most
yeah.
Pump fakes in a single possession. I think it'd be hilarious to watch. He's getting on his, what's his name, professor kind of stuff.
Dude, he comes in and with like a Carolina blue super horrible bandana. I would love. Okay, we're getting off the rails.
Luke Kennard should go full professor. Yeah, that's all we're saying.
That's 100%, dude. What a disaster.
So I'm marrying that. I'm gonna quarantine Ty Lue's clearest mask. The clear mask kind of freaks me out.
Oh, it's unsettling.
I'm also kind of co-loving though Steve Ballmer cutest Clipper. I think that'd be a good investment of his money.
Yes, I agree with that. I'm loving the clear mask. I think it's funny. I think Ty Lue's the kind of guy who would play that kind of joke where he's like, hey, can you tell I'm wearing a mask? And he'd be like, yes, Ty, we know. And it would just get clearer every day.
It's one of those things that, like, it's such a niche, like, thing for people to pick up on. Like, it would only be the media that would really care about this.
Oh, yeah. And he's messing with this, man.
We're
just pawns, as a great man once said. I think I'm marrying I think I gotta marry Steve Ballmer, cutest Clipper.
Okay.
Steve Ballmer is, and I don't know what he's like behind closed doors. He's probably done some weird stuff because billionaires are billionaires and they do weird stuff. He seems like one of the least offensive billionaires.
Least offensive?
Yeah. Just in terms of weird stuff. And you know what I'm talking about here, right? He seems like it. I'm not giving him a full pass. He's still in the billionaire status. But this would be the weirdest thing he'd ever done. Other than buying the Clippers for $2 billion.
this would be up there in the
weirdest. This would be the weirdest thing he's ever done that we know about, to be fair. So I think I'm marrying that. I don't think I'm quarantining any of these. I think Kawhi making everyone poop their pants would be really funny. I think Luke Kennard. This might actually already be broken. He might have already broken this record. Everyone, he's just like, he's like a video game character. He's just stuck. Pump fake, pump fake, pump fake, pump fake. Brick. No. Anything else in shavings that we want to talk about?
No, I think that about wraps it up. Can folks still try to win one of those Batum Battalion t-shirts I keep hearing about?
Look, the Batum Battalion t-shirts are actually getting here maybe on Saturday. So
early,
but we're still going to do the raffle. I have jury duty on Monday, which I'm going to talk about so much on the Tuesday episode of Locked On Clippers. But we're going to do the raffle on Monday when the shirts and stuff get here. We're going to post the winners on Twitter. So if you have a Twitter handle, you'll see it. And if you send us an email, we'll send you an email saying, hey, you won, buddy.
How can people enter?
You can go to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. Do not care if it's 5 stars. Could be one. We would prefer
whatever
to
you
five.
Think. Your honest thoughts.
Honest thoughts, if I'm being honest. But yeah, and then we'll let us know about it via Twitter or email shavings.podcast@gmail.com. Twitter, we're at Locked On Clips, or at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler. And you'll be entered in. There's one of 20. We're going to try and do another giveaway. We got, countless designs to do. It's going to be a good time. Enter. We'd love to give you a free shirt.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't review us on some of these other platforms, but you can still subscribe, which really helps us out.
Oh, yeah.
You can subscribe to us on Google Podcasts, on Spotify, on Stitcher, on Deezer. You can always tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. Works flawlessly, hands-free.
Oh, yeah. Also, shout out Clippers France. The Clippers French contingent is very real and very vocal.
Gonna have to make a trip out there once all this blows over.
I don't know a word of French. But look, I'll have a good time, buddy. Monday's episode, we're going to be recapping the Clippers weekend with an emphasis on that Kings game from Sunday, again during Super Bowl Sunday. The freshies talking the new clips up to this point. Whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.